welcome everyone to the Father, Son, Yom Yon Health Day. Let me just preface with the fact that when you're married to a psychologist, any opportunity that you get to make a push that health includes mental health, you run with it. So when I told my wife that we were going to speak about health today, she said, no, you're not. You're going to speak about mental health. So we are going to analyze a sugya in psychology and Torah regarding Bechira Chavshus, free will, how exactly that fits into Rabbi Storch's whole soliloquy this morning. I'm not exactly sure, but maybe we can figure it out together over the course of the shiur. So I want to analyze something that when I was in yeshiva, I was very troubled by. We're gonna leave it off. Okay, perfect. If anyone can't see or anything like that, we'll send you the slide. So something I was very, very bothered by when I was in yeshiva. Come on in. That I was reading a particular sefer, and it said that all of psychology is kfir. All of psychology is anti many tenets of faith within Judaism. I was like, I don't know, it doesn't sound so right. Maybe, perhaps... Okay, come on in. Doesn't sound so right to me. And then I went to YU when I decided to major in psychology, because every good rabbi's got a major in psychology, because what else are you going to major in? Even though you found out later that perhaps there are way easier majors to find. Are you guys can move in, I guess. Hack in. It's way easier. Sociology is probably a go-to major if you want to go into Rabbanus. But so I went for psychology in BA, and I didn't find any fear. I didn't find anything that really went anti, you know, anything in Judaism. Then I got married to my wife, and I tried to tell her, you know, your entire profession is against Judaism, and that was pretty much the end of that. So let's analyze together psychology, the perspective of psychology and Torah on free will. Do we believe in free will? And for that, let's open up with a story. So if you have a Marma Koma, so you have it in front of you. Anyone want to read it? Do you have a story? Don't all volunteer at once? No? Okay, I'll read it in English. Okay. Do your genes make you a criminal? This was an article from 1995. Stephen Tony Mobley has all the attributes of a natural-born killer. Nobody could blame his upbringing. He came from an affluent, white, middle-class American family, and he was not abused or mistreated as a child. Yet, as he grew up, he became increasingly violent, and at the age of 25, he walked into a pizza store and casually shot the manager in the neck after robbing this store and joking that he would apply for the job vacancy when the man was dead. That was in 1991. Now Mobley is waiting on death row in Georgia to hear whether his appointment with the electric chair is to be confirmed. His last chance of a reprieve rests with a plea from his lawyer that the murder was not the evil result of free will, but the tragic consequence of a genetic predisposition. The genes of Tony Mobley, his lawyers argue, meant he was born to kill. We're going to analyze one particular aspect of free will. Free will is a massive, massive sugya. And we talk about so many different, you know, other sugyas that interplay with this. Hashgacha Pratis, how a Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Mazel Yisrael, whether there's mazel. But we're going to focus on one particular aspect. And that is, are we predisposed for the decisions that we make in any particular situation? Does our genetic makeup make sure that we make a particular decision? Does our environment, does our upbringing, nature, nurture, does all of that have a say, have an impact in the decisions that we make? And if that is true, does that mean we have no free will? Does that mean that when I come to a decision, what am I going to eat for lunch today? What am I going to do in the afternoon after the shiurim are over? Is that already predetermined based on how I was raised, what my genes are like? And if that's true, then what happened to free will? We believe in free will. It's not one of the 13 principles of faith. Different shear for a different time, but we certainly believe in it. Shukim the Torah, Re'ei Anochi. Here, see before you, I put the question before you, of Rasha and Lola, give you the opportunity to become a tzaddik, to become a Rasha. And yet, is Stephen Mobley right? Was he born to be a killer? Was he born in a particular way that would dictate all of the decisions that he makes? Anyone want to chime in?
Well, it hasn't been answered throughout human history. I'll be very impressed if you can answer it.
Let's figure it out. So, determinism versus free will. Here we go. So determinism versus free will are the terms in psychology. We happen to be in the AP psychology room. There's a competing factor between all the pictures in the room versus the neuroscience posters that were beautifully created by many of the students, some even in this particular room. Let's see if we can combine the two of them together. So, determinism. Determinism approach basically says exactly like Stephen Mobley's lawyer wants to argue, that all of our, many of our environments, our upbringings, our genes, all predetermine every single decision that we are going to make. There is no decision that you have free will to make. It's all just an illusion. You don't really have free will. And the major proponents for this idea are B.F. Skinner, which we'll get to in a second, and Albert Bandura. Anyone know what that's a psychology experiment Bandura was famous for? All right, we won't do the interactive part. So, Albert Bandura wanted to prove that if you put children in a particular environment, they watch their parents act, without knowing exactly what they're looking at, they will mimic exactly what their parents do, in particular, aggression. They wanted to put children in a room with aggressive parents, something like that, and they saw that the children learned from watching the parents as role models, they learned to act in that particular way. And so, argued Albert Bandura, there's no free will. They'll just simply learn from the various role models that they have, the various environments that they come from, the various upbringings, the genes that they were given, that's what's going to dictate all of the decisions that they're going to make. However, there are many psychologists who argue for free will. And free will, as we know, okay, the board, I want to try to shift this over a little bit. And we're going to shift this over a little bit. I'm going to reach the... Are you able to reach the... there you go, yeah. Shift over a little bit.
This way.
Come on, Raymond.
No pressure, Raymond. You got this.
Come on, Raymond.
Don't worry, Rough Twerk will give you a passing grade either way. A little bit more over. A little bit this way. All right, moving over. This is part of the presentation. Do they have free will to be able to move in the right direction? Oh, too much. Back. Perfect. Okay, great. Wow. Unbelievable. Already had a rogue off in the room. So, free will, as we are all pretty much familiar with, free will means that when we are faced with a decision, we have all options in front of us, and we are in the driver's seat, we are in complete control to make whatever decision that we want to make. As far as to say that even if we've made the same decision in that particular scenario 100 times in a row, on the 101st time, we could 100% choose the exact opposite choice. Who are the proponents for free will? Abraham Maslow and Carl Rogers. Let's go through it a little bit. So, Abraham Maslow, some of you may know that Abraham Maslow has five basic needs that every human internally is driven by. It's a hierarchy of needs. The bottom one is the most obvious. The bottom one is the one that we run after from the earliest age. And as we get older, as we develop, as we mature, we run after the top of this list. So the bottom, we have psychological needs. Sorry, never mind. Physiological needs. Air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, reproduction. Basic human needs that every single human, you don't have to be taught these necessarily. You don't have to be taught how to breathe. You don't have to be taught. A baby already knows that he or she needs to drink water, needs to eat food. You don't have to teach those kind of things. It's basic human needs. And as you go up, you have the safety needs, love, belonging, esteem. And then to the top of the list is self-actualization, which means internally, without necessarily being taught this, every single person in this room has a drive to become the very best person that you can be. To be the very best. To make the right decisions. To go for the most successful life that you can live. And argues Abraham Maslow, that proves that we have free will. Because we're not dictated all just in a particular, planted in a particular environment. Planted with a particular set of genes. And you're just automatically going to have all the choices made for you. Internally, you are created with a drive and a necessity to become the very best that you can be by making particular choices in your life. B.F. Skinner, however, wrote a book, Beyond Freedom and Dignity, where he argued that, yes, it's nice to think that we have free will, and that would seem to be the status quo mentality, that we have free will, but argues B.F. Skinner, that is incorrect. A person is responsible for his behavior, this is the status quo thought, a person is responsible for his behavior, not only in the sense that he may be justly blamed or punished when he behaves badly, but also in the sense that he is to be given credit and admired for his achievements. However, a scientific analysis shifts the credit, as well as the blame, to the environment and traditional practices that can no longer be justified. These are sweeping changes, and those who are committed to traditional theories and practices naturally resist them. Argues B.F. Skinner, based on many, many experiments. Free will? It's all an illusion. Nobody free will. Your genes, your environment, your upbringing, that is what dictates every single decision that you are going to make. Okay, enough about science. Let's move on to the Torah. So, what is the Torah's approach to this? Is there any role that the environment your genes play in your Bechira Chashis? So, at first glance, we say, what do you mean we have free will? We are clearly argue against the B.F. Skinners of the world and all those behavior psychologists who say that there's no free will, it's all determined. And that would seemingly be the approach of the Rambam. The Rambam teaches us in Perek Hey in Hilchos Shuvah Halacha Aleph that Rishus L'chol Adam Nesuna Im Ratzo Lahatos Atzmo Derech Tova Lios Tzadik Rishus Biyado Vim Ratzo Lahatos Atzmo Derech Ra Lios Rasha Rishus Biyado. You want to be a Tzadik? Go for it! You want to make the decision to wake up to go to Minyan to where the Tzitzis to where it's filling to keep Shabbos? Go for it! You want to be a Rasha? Go for it. The entire decision is in your hands. No one else is forcing you to do that. And says the Rambam, Al Yavur Machshavaska Davar Zesh Omrim Tipshei Umas Olam Merov Gol Mei Bnei Yisrael. Shem Kodesh Baruch Hu goes to all Adam Itzchilas Briyasa Lios Sadik of Russia. Whoa. Don't think that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, okay, this child, she is going to be a Tzadekes. And this one is going to be a Russia. That's not how it works. Every single person who's born into this world has free will, can choose who they want to become and how they want to do it. And says the Rambam in Halacha Gimel that this is such a fundamental aspect to our Torah. To believe that if we're going to have a system of schar va'onish, of rewards and punishments, mitzvos and averus, it has to be that we have free will. So seemingly we'd say it's against the ideas of B.F. Skinner and all the other behavior psychologists who want to argue determinism. But I want to focus on one aspect of the Rambam. Yeah?
What about Paro?
What about Paro? Oh, taking away free will. Does he have free will? Does he not have free will? Excellent. Maybe we'll touch upon that at the end. But I want to focus on a question that's been asked for centuries. And I think perhaps we're going to suggest a new angle to this question, which will directly prove what the Rambam holds in this particular situation. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows everything, and he knows all of history, he knows everything that's going to happen, he knows all of the past, he knows all the present, he knows all the future. Asks the Rambam, so how do we have free will? Says the Rambam, a famous question, you were good, but... Come back over, free will, come on. I'm not forcing you to do this. This is on the source sheet. Just shift it over this way a little bit. It's not on the screen at all? It is on the screen. Just wrote a little bit to this way. A little bit. Oh, you're saying that the wide. Okay. All right. We'll skip it. Here we go. Shema Tomer. We'll fill in some of the letters. I'll show off a little bit. Shema Tomer. V'halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodea kol ma shiyiye v'kodem shiyeh yada shezeh yeh tzadik v'rasha o lo yada. Im yada v'hu yiyeh tzadik yesh shalo yeh tzadik. V'im Tomer shiyada shiyeh tzadik v'evro shiyeh rasha harei lo yada dvarav al boryav. Says the Rambam. Let's analyze two ways. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows everything, and he knows you're going to be a tzaddik, or he knows you're going to be a rasha, so then you can't do the opposite, because he already knows what's going to happen in the future. And if you're going to tell me he doesn't know, well then we're going to have a lot of theological problems over here. Because then God doesn't know everything. If I could become a rasha, even though God thinks I'm going to be a tzaddik, we're going to have major issues over here. God doesn't know everything. So what's going to be? Says the Rambam, the most classical question when it comes to free will, if God knows everything, well then, how do I have free will? He knows what's going to be. This is a question that every high schooler wants to ask in order to get out of davening in the morning. This is a question that everyone has in the back of their minds. What gives? If God knows everything, how do I have free will? This is a question that I asked also in high school. And I asked my Rebbe. Rebbe Mendel Blaffman, a Rebbe in KBY. And I asked him this exact question. He said, young man, you are not the first person to ask this. And there my entire ego is shot. I thought I was the first one in all of history to ask this question. He said, the Rambam, many, many, many years ago, already asked this question. And he said, there's really a big issue that no one really acknowledges. What is the problem if God knows everything? So what? So God knows if I'm going to become a tzaddik. Okay. But when I have a particular scenario right here in front of me, do I choose to be kosher or non-kosher? Did God tell me what to do in that particular scenario? Did like a heavenly voice come down, like a Ruach HaKodesh, a Baskol come and tell me that choose kosher, you're supposed to be a tzaddik, or choose not kosher, you're supposed to be a rasha? No one told me what to do in that particular scenario. So what does it matter that God already knows what I'm going to choose? What does it matter that I'm supposed to become a tzaddik or a rasha? In that particular moment, I still feel free to choose whatever I want, even if it's already been known what I'm going to choose. So Zed Reb Lachman, we have to reanalyze this question. Because if you were asking this question, I wouldn't give any second thought to it. But if the Rambam is going to ask this question, we can't leave this hanging. We can't leave it that there's a real big problem with this question that doesn't make any sense. Who cares if it's already been predetermined you're going to be a tzaddik? No one told you in this particular scenario what to choose. So you still have free will. So says the Rambam as follows. Says Reb Lachman as follows. Let's understand how knowledge works. Here we go. What's going to happen in this particular scenario? For this one, I really it's an alley-oop. You guys got this, all right? You don't have to read anything. You don't have to answer anything on your own volition. Just it's really simple. What's going to happen when this mysterious hand that pops out of nowhere drops the ball? The ball is going to land on the
floor.
Thank you, everyone, for your participation. The ball is going to land on the floor. How do you know that?
Physics,
gravity. You learned about it. You've also experienced it. You've done it before. I've dropped many things. I've dropped a cup of coffee all over myself. I've done many things that I've dropped, and I saw what happened. But let's say I never experienced this. Let's say I've never seen gravity in real life. Maybe I learned about it. I have a theory as to what will happen. But I've never seen it. Do I know what's going to happen?
No.
I have a theory, I have a guess, I have a hypothesis, but I don't know for certain what's going to happen. Says Reb Lachman, that's human knowledge. Human knowledge is based on experiences. If I've seen it happen, if I've experienced it, then I know. Then I know what's going to happen. But if I've never experienced it, then I don't know. Explains Reb Lachman as follows. The question is assuming that God's knowledge is based on experience, just like our knowledge is. And so, if God knows I'm going to be a tzaddik, but he never experienced it yet, if God knows I'm going to be a rasha, but he never experienced it yet, so then how could he know that? Unless there's something internal. There is the environment you're raised into. There's the genes you were born with. There's the upbringing that we all have that dictates the decision that dictates my trajectory, that dictates my entire journey. And if God knows that, he's basically just looking at the entire code, the cheat code behind the scenes, and just reading it and saying, okay, this is exactly what's going to happen. And if that's true, that's determinism, that's not free will. And in that way, we have a major, major issue. If we believe in free will, how could God know what's going to happen? Isn't all of knowledge based on experience? Now, everyone here is looking at me like, wow, you're the crummiest person in the entire room. Reb Lachman, what do you mean God's knowledge is based on experience? Yeah, come on, everyone. What's God's knowledge based on? God, he knows everything. Not based on experience. He's not a human being. And that's exactly what the Rambam answers. The Rambam answers that the reason why this isn't a problem is because God's knowledge clearly works differently than ours. Of course God doesn't know everything because of a cheat code behind the scenes, because of the genes he's reading, because of the environment he looks at, because of the upbringing that we all have. He knows because he's God, because he's eternal, because he is someone who is beyond time. He lives in the past, the present, the future, all at the same time. He experienced it already, whatever answer you want to go with. But clearly, God does not know everything just because of experience. He's not a human being. However, what remains at the end of the day is that the Rambam presented determinism versus free will. And he said, Lo yitzur, if it would be that God did know everything based on experience, if there was determinism, that would not be free will. And we would have a major problem with a fundamental belief in Yiddishkeit, which is that we do have free will. So the Rambam's opinion is pretty clear. Based on Reb Lachman's opinion of the Rambam, it's pretty clear that determinism, there's no room for it. Environmental needs cannot necessarily dictate what's going to be. There can't be any predictor for what we're going to choose. That seems to be the Rambam's approach. But let's mesh the two opinions. Let's mesh psychology, let's mesh B.F. Skinner, let's mesh Abraham Maslow, let's mesh perhaps the Torah and psychology together. And that's in a very, very famous essay written by, anyone want to guess? There's pretty much nothing to be based on, but... Rav Dessler, Michtav Me'eliyahu. Strive for truth in English. Rav Dessler wrote an essay called Nekudas HaBachira, analyzing the Bachira point. Where Rav Dessler said, let's say you're fighting a war, two countries are fighting a war, and they're fighting a war in the air, and they're fighting a war on the ground, and everyone has their bases. And says Rav Dessler, at every point that you look, whether you're in the air, whether you're on the ground, whether you're in your base, at all points, the war is being fought. But in some places, one country already was victorious, already dominated, already controlled one area. And in other places, it's called the battlefront. It's called exactly where the battle is taking place. Says Rav Dessler, when it comes to free will, if you want to skim it, you can skim it, but you can listen. Says Rav Dessler, when it comes to Bechira Chavshis, there are three areas. There are the areas that you've already conquered. You have your base. You have your territory that you've already conquered. That's already out of your Bechira point. You've conquered so many times, your environment, your choices, your genes, they've led you to conquer that particular area. It's no longer free will anymore. It's just rote. Of course you're going to choose the same thing over and over and over again. And then on the opposite end, you have areas that you also have no Bechira on. You know why? Because it's way, way, way too hard. Way, way, way too hard. The way you were raised, the genes that you have, the environment you live in, that's also going to dictate what you're going to choose on the opposite end. You're always going to choose in that direction. And then there's a middle ground. The battlefront. And what happens at the battlefront? Now we have a war. Now we have in every single scenario that I'm faced with these two choices. Sometimes I'll choose it this way. Sometimes I'll choose that way. That's the battlefront. That's where Bechira, that's where free will really, really applies. And in that way, says Rav Dessler, of course we believe in determinism. Of course we believe that there's an impact of environment, upbringing, genes, my friends. All those things do play a role in one part of the battlefield. In the areas that I have accomplished, I have conquered already, or the areas that I have not conquered yet. But then where does free will come in? Where do we truly believe that in every single time you're faced with this decision, you have full autonomy to choose in either direction that you want? That's in the battlefront. That's in the battlefront. That's right smack in the middle. And in those areas, nothing will dictate where you're going to choose. You have a full autonomy to choose in that scenario. And that way, says Rav Dessler, we really believe in a hybrid. There's some areas in our lives that are determined. Whether it be your genes, whether it be your upbringing, whether it be your social life, whether it be whatever it is. But in other areas, we believe in full autonomy of free will. There's an essay written at the end, a couple more points with that. Rav Shlomo Volbe, let's go to Shlomo Volbe. The great Jewish philosopher has established Bechira as the cornerstone for the whole Torah. But from this resulted a common misconception among the masses that all people actively choose their every act and every decision. This is a grievous error. It's not so true that in every single decision that we make, we have free will. There are many decisions that are already going to be somewhat predetermined. Could you theoretically choose the other way? For sure. But 99.9% of the time, you're going to be led in a particular direction. It's a grievous error to think that we have free will in every single decision that we make. Of course there's impacts. Of course our environment and our parents and our social lives and all our spouses, of course that dictates a lot of what our decisions are going to be. It's a mistake to think otherwise. And in that way, psychology and the Torah really end up somewhere, at the same point. There's an essay written by, if you want to read it, you can find it online, from Rabbi Zion Sirotzkin, a famous psychologist in Brooklyn, where he wants to argue it's not just Torah who bends to psychology, not just Torah who says that there's not just complete free will, but there's also determinism, but there's actually a complete misconception on the side of determinism and the psychologist. He wants to argue that even a full determinist has to believe in some sense that there's free will, or else he's lying to himself. And of course, the determinists agree with the free will psychologists, the free will psychologists somewhat agree with the determinist psychologists, and Rav Dessler is telling us that even the Torah bends a little bit to acknowledge the role of the determinist psychologists and acknowledges the impact of our surroundings on our decisions. Thank you so much for coming, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
No questions?
If anyone has any questions, please.
Yes, so when I was in Yeshiva, I had a similar presentation, not as good as this one. This was spectacular. But they hid from us the opinion of the Ralbag.
The Ralbag?
Because they were embarrassed. The rabbis were embarrassed.
Please, I don't even know about the Ralbag. Please tell me.
The Ralbag's shita is that God is not omniscient. He doesn't have all knowledge.
Okay, that Ralbag I do know. Okay, yeah.
He limits his own knowledge on the future, and therefore he combines this paradox, which, by the way, the Rambam still presents it as a paradox.
Sure.
In the book, he says that you can drive yourself crazy by trying to philosophize this paradox, and you better stay away from it because it can drive a man crazy. But the Rambam says that we have free will, and God doesn't know the future of our...
So just to add a little comment, they're all bagging, I believe, in Sefer Bereishis. Comments on the fact that in so many areas in the Torah, that the Torah describes a God with human terms, certain body parts, maybe not knowing what's going to be, maybe like somewhat acting like a human being, and the Ralbag, you know, gets from there that perhaps God is, quote unquote, to a certain extent limited, or at least the way that he interacts with us, he is limited, which allows for us to have complete free will in those scenarios. That's the Ralbag you're referring to?
Yeah, there are. Abraham ibn Dawood, there are other Rishonim, but he's the main proponent.
Right.
He opens up Pandora's box.
Sure.
But he's not saying that it actually is true. He's just saying that it's not a bikurus, it's not violating one of the 13.
To say that he has.
He's not saying he actually believes it.
Who,
he's not, yeah, he's just saying it's not a bikurus.
No, I think Ralbag is actually, is we propose that the Ralbag actually believes that God has some limitation.
In corporate reality, not just the corporate reality violates.
I think it would be a beautiful thing for the next father son Yom Yun to have a panel about what the Ralbag actually held in terms of corporate reality. I think that would be an excellent panel, and we'll invite the two of you back for a panel.
For sure. But otherwise, the general consensus is we have to be in free will. We have to believe in free will because we have no choice.
All right. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you for coming.
Fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. How you doing? Yep.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Wow. Excellent. Awesome. How you doing?
That's kind of part.
How are you? Yeah, for sure.
Does that make sense?
How you doing?
Sure. So not just determinism because of experience.
Scott, thank you.
It's a mystery. Usually it's pretty well, but it's not clear why.
Right.
I think
what's the real one?
The reason why he knows is because who I God and who I think.
The Rambam is the knowledge.
Right,
then his knowledge is number one.
Right.
Yeah, because
of that, he literally does know what you're ready to choose.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why he leaves it as a mystery, because it's completely irreconcilable why there's no
belief in it. Nice meeting you. Bring his father?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. This is an understanding of
that. Such a treat. I've heard
of
it.
I would consider this a second.
Farewell. He knows the end.